السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the universe. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of His prophets and messengers, including His final and beloved messenger, Muhammad. His pure and immaculate household and righteous companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Luqman chapter 31 verses 14 and 15, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. And we have enjoined man concerning his parents. His mother bore him weakness upon weakness. And his weaning was 2 years. Give thanks unto me and unto your parents. Unto me is the journey's end. But if they strive to make you a scribe as a partner unto me, that of which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. Consort with them in the world in a kind manner, and follow the way of those who turn in repentance unto me. Then unto me is your return, and I shall inform you of that which you used to do. Aminna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Last week, we began covering the series of admonishments and advice that Luqman gives to his son. And our focus last week was on the moral responsibility of parents towards their children. We said that one of the responsibilities of parents towards their children is that they guide them, is that they admonish them and give them advice, and that they teach them. So not only is it a responsibility of parents to nurture their children, to take care of them physically and financially and intellectually, but it is also the responsibility first and foremost of parents to help guide their children, to help them develop a strong sense of morality and ethics and positive values. And so, this week, we move on with the verses of Surah Luqman in verses 14 and 15, which essentially they encapsulate the moral responsibilities of children towards their parents. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 14 of Surah Luqman, God says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And God has enjoined al-insan, the human being, male and female, young and old. God has enjoined the human being with his parents, his father or her father or mother. We find that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expressing to us this divine command, that God is reminding us of our responsibility towards our parents. That we honor our parents. That we are kind and compassionate to our parents. And in fact, we find in many places in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about honoring parents and showing kindness to parents, we find that there is a direct link, an immediate link that is established in a number of verses in the Quran between honoring one's parents and recognition of and belief in and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And when God took a covenant from Bani Israel, the children of Israel, God made a covenant, or took a covenant from them. What was that covenant? Allah tells us, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The first thing that God told them was that you do not worship anyone or anything but God. And then Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. Number two is that you express kindness and honor and respect to your parents. And in fact, when we go to the Jewish and the Christian scripture, when we go to the Bible, we find that there are the prominent Ten Commandments that are mentioned. The Ten Commandments are mentioned in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verses 1, verse 1 of chapter 20 is the illustration or the expression of what is known as the Ten Commandments. The first of these commandments in Exodus chapter 20 is, I am your Lord, God telling the people of the children of Israel, I am your Lord, your God, I am the one who saved you from slavery. And you will take no partners and you will worship no other deities but me. Right? And then when you go down in the list of the commandments, one of the commandments in Exodus 20, 12, God says to the people, and to honor your father and your mother. And there are many other examples. Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verse 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you worship and you recognize no other Lord but the one God. But Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. And number two immediately is that you express kindness and honor to your parents. And thus we find that there is a link, there is a recurring theme, that recognition of God, worship of God, belief in God is coupled in many instances in the Quran with recognition and appreciation and honoring one's parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us in this verse, chapter 31, verse 14, He gives us a very important reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنًا وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامِ. God says, I have commanded you to honor your parents, your father and your mother. Then there is a reminder that is specific to the mother. Allah says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنًا. This human being, his mother, she bore him with weakness upon weakness. You know, sometimes when we get together, when families, they get together, parents and their children and grandchildren, extended families, very frequently, you may have experienced this in your own lives, we find that sometimes discussions of the past come up. Huh? Parents, they're sitting, you know, with their family members, and they suddenly remember something that their child did when he or she was young. When they were an infant, they did something funny, they did something unusual. There's a story my father reminds me of my childhood. I've heard it, I don't know how many times. Huh? It's an embarrassing story, so I won't mention it. But we know, we've all felt this. There are times where parents will come, whether the father or the mother, they remind you of something that happened when you were a child. And usually it's something amusing, it's something funny, and everyone laughs. Yet there are some things that parents, they do not remind us of. and especially the mother. You never hear a mother come out and tell her child, when I was pregnant with you, I had this problem, I had that problem, I was ill, I had to go to the hospital, I had to, this happened to me, that. No one says that. No one remembers those things. We don't remember them. Our parents, they don't remind us of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this will be kept a reminder. Your parents might not tell you about this. Your mother, she might not tell you about the difficulties that she bore, she had when she was bearing you. But I will remind you. And this reminder will be kept forever so that generation after generation comes and remembers. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا. The mother bore the child with difficulty upon difficulty. Have we ever taken a moment to ask our mothers about the difficulties that they had? Have we ever taken a moment to ask our mothers about all of the various difficulties that they had when the mother was carrying us? Ask your mother. If your mother is around and you are blessed and your mother is still alive, ask her. Ask. Many of the sisters here are mothers, and they recall. But ask your mother about the difficulties, not only during pregnancy, but even afterwards, during childbirth and after childbirth. And this is why the Quran says it's not just when through a pregnancy and childbirth. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. After the child is born, there is another complete journey that the parents take, and especially the mother has to take. Another set of difficulties that the mother has to take in taking care of this child, who is wholly and entirely dependent on his or her mother especially. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامٍ. We find that our fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he tells us in his Risalatul Huquq, the treatise on rights, he tells us about the rights of the mother upon her child. He says, وَأَمَّا حَقُّ أُمِّكَ. And as for the rights of your mother, the right of your mother is that you know that she carried you where no one else carries anyone. She carries you where no one carries anyone. That she gave to you of the fruit of her heart that which no one gives to anyone. And she protected you with all her organs. Her entire body protects us. And she did not care if she went hungry as long as you ate. And she did not care if she was thirsty as long as you drank. And she did not care if she was naked as long as you were clothed. And she did not care if she was in the sun as long as you were in the shade. She gave up sleep for your sake. She protected you from heat and cold, all in order that you might belong to her. And then the Imam says, you will not be able to show her gratitude unless through God's help and giving success. The man comes one day to the Prophet in the famous event we've heard. He comes to the Prophet in Masjid al-Haram, the Prophet is standing there. The man comes to him. And he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, I have just carried my mother. My mother is not able to walk. I have just carried her on my back. And I performed the tawaf 7 times around the Kaaba. Carrying my mother on my back. Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of God, have I given back to my mother through this act? The Prophet, he turned to the man, he said, La wallah. No, by God, you have not even repaid her even for one contraction that she had when she was bearing. Do we know the right of our mother upon us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامٍ. And that this command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes and gives to us, the command to honor our parents, this command is something that we do not outgrow. Sometimes there are some responsibilities in life, some stages in life that we pass. When we pass them, we don't go back to them. When you're done with high school, afterwards you don't come back and take classes that you took in high school. No, khalas, it's done. You move on to higher education and then so on and so forth. When you go up the ladder in terms of your career and your job, you don't go back to your old job. No, usually you keep progressing because you outgrew this specific time. You surpassed this specific time. When it comes to this command, honoring our parents is something that we do not outgrow. It remains with us for our entire lives, our responsibility towards our parents. It is something that remains with us for our entire life, when we are young and when we are old. In fact, it is even more important and vital for us to think about the significance of honoring our parents when we are older. Not just when we're young. Because many times when we're young, our parents, they're also young and they're strong and they're providing for us. They're purchasing things for us. They're feeding us. They're clothing us. They're taking us here and there. Right? But when they grow a little bit older and they become weak and they're not able to do all of the things that they were able to do before, and they become dependent on you, their needs, they become dependent on you, that is when the real test is there. That's when the real test is there. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. It's one day, one or both of them, they attain old age. We have to ask ourselves, what is my responsibility towards my parents now? Do I turn to them and I express kindness and compassion to them and honor them and do my best to fulfill their needs? Or do I desert them? Do I discard them? Do I turn them away? I read a story once about a family that lived in a village. And this family, the father, the mother, they had a young daughter. And with this family lived the mother's mother, so the grandmother. The mother's mother, she lived there, and she was an old woman, and she had become feeble and weak. And so she was living with the family, and because she had become weak, she wasn't able to perform some of the basic, you know, duties and take care of herself with some of the most basic things. Her arm had become weak, her eyesight, her hearing. And so when she would sit at the dinner table, she would have difficulty eating. When she wants to raise her fork, her spoon, the food would spill all over the place. It would spill over her clothes, on the ground, here, there. When she would raise a glass to try to drink, the glass would fall. Sometimes it would break. The plates would fall from her hands. They would break. She would not be able to hold them. So her daughter, this woman's daughter, she kept seeing this, and the husband is seeing this, and their daughter is also noticing this, and they sort of got fed up. The daughter got fed up. One time she gets up, she cleans the table, she cleans the clothing, she brings another plate, and it keeps happening over and over. This old lady keeps dropping the plates and breaking them. So the mother, she turns to her daughter, her young daughter. She tells her, she says, I want you to go out to the market and I want you to buy a wooden bowl because your grandma, she keeps dropping these plates and she's breaking them. So go and get her a wooden bowl so that she can eat with a wooden bowl and it won't break, it won't cause this mess for us. So her young daughter, she goes to the market and she comes back. When she comes back, she hands the bag to her mother. Her mother looks in the bag, she finds two bowls, two wooden bowls. She tells her, my daughter, why is it that you brought me two bowls? I asked for one. She said, yes, one of them I brought for grandma and the other one I'm going to save for you when you grow up. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells us to be very, very careful. He tells us, be careful with the way that you act with your parents, because in that same way, your children will act with you. We call it, in today's terminology, we call it karma. The Imam tells us that the way that we interact with our parents, this is the way that our children will also interact with us. And so it's important. It is important for us to remember our responsibility both when our parents are young and we are younger, and then when our parents get older and we are older. Our responsibility of honoring our parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير." So give thanks to me, your Lord, and your parents. The same way that these verses, they couple recognition and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with honoring our parents. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? He says, give me thanks and to your parents. As your Lord, give me thanks for providing you with all of the goodness and all of the benefits and all of the blessings that I have provided. But do not forget your parents. Do not forget to express, in expressing honor to your parents and kindness, that you give thanks to them, that you recognize them, that you show them genuine appreciation and honor. And this is both parents, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins with both parents, right? He says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, both parents, the father and the mother. And then He talks to us about the difficulties of the mother and the special position of the mother, and then reverts back to both parents. Give thanks to God and to both of your parents. Reminding us that we have to appreciate our parents. Appreciate them in every aspect of our interaction. Appreciate them from the little, or what we consider the little, all the way to the big. And if we go back to our traditions, they give us examples of how to honor and how to interact with our parents in a way that is kind and compassionate. The Imam tells us that even when it comes to the way that we look at our parents, even the way that we look at our parents, the way that we look at our parents should be a look of what? Of mercy, of compassion. Never one of anger or wrath. Never to frown upon our parents, even the way that we look at our parents. The way that we speak to our parents, that our voices, we never raise our voices. These are, according to our teachings, these are not just things that we teach our kids. We found them on the internet, or some, you know, PhD has written a good self-help book, and you know, they're teaching us. No. These are traditions. They go back to the teachings of the Prophet and the Imams. They teach us that even when it comes to our speech, the way that we speak to our parents, that we do not disrespect them. The other verse from Surah Isra says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Do you not even state the term of. The term of, for those Arab and even Persian speakers, they know what? They know that the term of is a term or a utterance of what? Of disgust, unhappiness, maybe being upset or angry, right? We are told, the Quran tells us, do not even arrive at a point where you even state the term of this sound towards your parents, let alone things that are bigger. other types of verbal or physical, God forbid, physical abuse. And so we are reminded of our responsibility of honoring our parents. And this honor, brothers and sisters, is one that is absolute. Because a lot of people, they come and say, well, Sayyid, you know, this is great if what? This is great if my parents are kind to me, if they're good to me, if they've been there in my life, or if, you know, they've done good to me. But if my parents have not done good to me, one or both of my parents have not been there for me, they miss out, they prioritize other things in my life, how is it that I can honor and respect them? The Quran and the traditions, they tell us regardless of what type of person your parent is, it is important for us to understand this position of parenthood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us of the position of parenthood. The importance of this position. That parents have rights upon us. And one of the rights is that we respect them, we honor them. That we do not express disrespect to them, even if they are disrespectful to us. Even if they dishonor us. Our responsibility towards our parents is that we respect. But yet the Quran here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to confuse honor and respect of parents for absolute obedience or blind faith. In the next verse, Allah tells us what? Allah says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُفَحْهُمَا. And if your parents, they encourage you to do what? To disobey God. Whether it's to take partners, to ascribe partners with God, or whether it's any other act of disobedience. To disobey God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُفَحْهُمَا. Do not obey your parents. Because we are prohibited from obeying anyone, no matter who this person is, if that person is encouraging us to disobey God. In other words, do not let your familial or blood ties and relationships trump your relationship with God. Let your relationship with God be the strongest relationship. Yes. If your parents are guiding you in a way, they're encouraging you, they're teaching you to do things that please God, then yes, of course, obedience is there. Yet, if what our parents are encouraging us to do is engage in disobedience of God, then there is no obedience towards them. And this is what the Quran tells us. Very clear. But there are some things when it comes to certain acts, even ritual acts, or even acts of worship, where parents still have a high authority over their children. For instance, when it comes to acts that are not wajib, when it comes to acts that are mustahab, recommended acts. For instance, acts such as, extra fasts. Not fasts that are wajib in the month of Ramadan or other wajib fasts, but extra fasts, recommended fasts. Or recommended prayers, right? Or recommended, you know, ziyarah, or any other acts. The traditions, they tell us that if engaging in these acts, observing these acts, it contradicts the parents' desires. The parents tell you what? They say, listen, I don't want you to fast. You're already a skinny as it is, right? And you don't need to fast. This is going to cause, or perhaps this may cause problems for your health. Or even if it's not a matter of health, your parents, they tell you that we like to get together and we like to eat together as a family. And every day you're fasting, you're deciding not to eat with the family. And this displeases them. If this displeases your parents, then you have no right to engage in this. This is what our traditions, they tell us. But if it is an act that is wajib, if it is time for prayers and your parents, they tell you, listen, I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to observe hijab. I don't want you to give your religious dues, to give charity to the poor. They have no right to do so. They cannot encourage you to do so, because the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before the obedience of human beings, especially in the case where they are encouraging disobedience. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very important point. Allah continues in the verse, He says, yet don't allow difference of faith or practice or belief, do not allow this to lead to disrespect of your parents. Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Yes, if they tell you to disobey God, if they tell you to ascribe partners to God, or to engage in sin or immorality or disobedience of God, do not obey them yet. Yet, you should still honor and respect. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Meaning what? Meaning that it is okay for you to have difference of faith and belief. It is okay for you to have parents. Sometimes there are some cases where the parents, they are not observant. I've seen cases myself where parents, they are not observant. Yet their children are observant. Their children have gone out and they have learned, and they're observant. In cases like this, the Quran tells us that if your parents, they ask of you to disobey God, do not obey them, do not listen to them, but that should not mean that you disrespect them. Once again, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing on the status of parents and honoring parents. And here, this is very beautiful, a picture that Allah gives us of always maintaining a moderate path. Because some people, unfortunately, sometimes they engage in extreme behavior. Either on the one hand, they completely, they follow their parents and their relatives. Whatever is told to them, they completely listen to them. And the Quran tells us, there are some people who when asked, why do you, for instance, worship these idols? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Their answer is what? We saw our parents, our family members, our tribe, our culture. It taught us this. They were doing this, so we're doing it also. There is this extreme, and there is the other extreme, unfortunately. And sometimes we see this, that because the parents are not observant and the children might be observant, then they completely neglect them. They take them out of their lives. Khalas. They no longer know them. They excommunicate them, they don't want to talk to them. It's as if they do not exist. The Quran says neither this nor that. When it comes to obedience of Allah and disobedience, make sure that you do not disobey God. If your parents command you to disobey God, do not obey them. Yet on the other hand, do not allow this difference in faith, in iman, in practice to lead you to disrespect your parents. Take the middle path. Take the middle path. Remember that it is still your responsibility to honor and to respect your parents, to be kind to your parents. We're told in a story that a man by the name of Zakaria ibn Ibrahim, who was a Christian man during the time of our sixth Imam, and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he converted to Islam. He used to live in Kufa. During that time, in Kufa, and for the first couple of centuries, in fact, after Islam, many of the regions surrounding the Hijaz, the Arabian Peninsula, many of the regions which had fallen under Islamic rule, there was still a large non-Muslim population. It took a long time for these areas to completely have majority Muslims. There were still populations, large populations, that were non-Muslim. So in Kufa, this man by the name of Zakaria, he and his family were from a Christian family in Kufa. He had converted to Islam. He goes and he performs the Hajj. So he goes from Kufa, he goes to Mecca. In Mecca, he meets with the sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq. He goes to him, he introduces himself, he tells him, I'm so-and-so. And I have accepted Islam. I come from a Christian family and I have accepted Islam. So the Imam speaks to him, he asks him, what is it that sparked your interest? It's a beautiful hadith. The man, he replies, he tells him about the Quran and whatnot. And then the man, and then the Imam, he prays for the man. He says, may Allah, the hadith says three times, he raised his hands, said, may Allah guide you, may Allah guide you, may Allah guide you. He prayed for the man. Then the man, he asked him a series of questions. He turned to him, he told him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I come from a Christian family. I am the only one who converted to Islam. The rest of my family, my parents, and other family members, they are still Christian. So is it okay for me to live with them in the house and to interact with them? The Imam turned to him. He told him, of course. Absolutely. And then he asked him, he told him, tell me about your parents. The man told him, my parents are old, but my mother, she's become very weak to the point where she's blind. So she needs extra help. The Imam turned to him, he told him, oh Zakariya, make sure that you make it a priority in your life to serve your mother, to honor your mother, to be kind and compassionate to your mother, to do everything that she needs. And if she were to leave this life, make sure that you are the one that takes care of all of her affairs. Her washing and her burial, shrouding, everything. Do not leave this to anyone else. This is your responsibility. So Zakariya, he goes back to Kufa. When he returns, he goes back to his mother and he begins to serve his mother. He goes and he takes the food and he feeds his mother. He takes care of her, any of her needs. He brushes her hair, anything that she needs, he begins to take care of her. The mother, she realizes something is different. So she turns to her son, she tells him, oh my son Zakariya, why is it that you are paying so much attention to me now? You're so close to me, you're taking care of my every need, when you were not like this before. Zakariya, he turns to his mother, he tells him, my dear mother, I went and I performed the pilgrimage and there I met with our Imam and the Imam commanded me to do so. He commanded me that I honor you and I respect you. So the mother, she turned to him, she told him, these are the teachings of the prophets and the messengers. Is this man a prophet? He told her, no mother, he is not a prophet, but he is the grandson of the prophet. He is the Imam and the grandson of the prophet. She told him, his wisdom is like that of the prophets. I want you to tell me more about this faith of yours. Tell me more. So Zakariya, he says, I began to teach my mother about Islam. He says, that day, when I taught her, that day, she performed her prayers in her condition. She performed her prayers, her dhuhr prayers and her asr prayers and maghrib and isha. He says that evening she became very ill, very sick. So she called me, she said, oh Zakariya, I feel as if these are my final moments. And I want you at this time, I want you once again to remind me of everything that you taught me. And once he did so, she told him, now I want you to teach me how to once again to accept this faith, to submit to this faith. And Zakariya, he teaches his mother and she accepts the faith and she dies on faith. Our teachings, they remind us. They tell us it doesn't matter who your parents, what their religious background is. It doesn't matter whether they are faithful or unfaithful, whether they are believers or unbelievers, whether they are observant or not observant. Your responsibility is to be kind and compassionate and to honor your parents. This is what we are taught. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finally, he ends the verse. Allah says, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, and follow the path of those who turn to God in repentance. وَاتَّبَعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. And all of your destination is what? Is going back to Allah. We will all go back to Allah. فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform us of everything that we did during this life. We will continue inshallah next week with our discussion on the rest of the verses from Surah Luqman. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, during these blessed days and nights, the days and nights of the holy month of Rajab, this month and next month, of course, the month of Sha'ban, and after that, the holy month of Ramadan. These are holy days and nights. The traditions, they tell us these are times of dua. These are times in which we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek forgiveness. And we pray to Allah with sincerity and we devote our time and attention and focus and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fast during these days is highly recommended, to give charity, to seek forgiveness, to engage in prayer, to prepare ourselves. It is during this time that we begin to slowly prepare ourselves for the holy month of Ramadan. Tonight is, of course, Thursday night, important in and of itself. It is the first Thursday night of the month of Rajab, known as Laylatul Raghaib, the night of wishes and the night of prayers. It is a night in which we are recommended to seek forgiveness and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and our hajat, to spend whatever time we can during this night in seeking forgiveness and worship. There is a recommended prayer. It's not wajib, but it is a recommended prayer known as Salat Laylatul Raghaib, recommended if you have the time to do so and the ability to do so tonight. The prayer, of course, you can find the instructions online and in the books of dua. If you go online on duas.org, there's a link to the A'mal of Laylatul Raghaib and you'll have all of the instructions. But very quickly, the prayer is a 12 rak'ah, 12 unit prayer. And it is performed in 2-unit prayers. So 6 2-unit prayers. Just like we perform the morning prayer 2 units, 6 of these. Okay? In each of these, and the intention for this is Salat Laylatul Raghaib, the prayer of tonight, Laylatul Raghaib. In each rak'ah, every single one of these 12 rak'ahs, we recite Surah Al-Hamd, Surah Al-Fatiha once, and then after Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite 3 times Surah Al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, 3 times. And 12 times Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Tawheed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. So this is in every single rak'ah. And then after the 6 prayers, the 6 2-unit prayers are finished, then while you are sitting, 70 times, you recite Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Nabiyyi al-Ummi wa ala alih, 70 times. And then you go into sujood and you recite 70 times Subbuhun Quddus Rabbul Malaikati wal-Ruh. Then you sit up again and 70 times you recite Rabbi ighfir warham wa tajawaz amma ta'lam innaka antal aliyyul a'zam. Then you go into sujood once again for the second time, and once again 70 times you recite Subbuhun Quddus Rabbul Malaikati Warruh, and then you ask for your hajat. And don't forget to pray for your family members, of course for your parents. If your parents are deceased, pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them forgiveness and comfort in the hereafter. Don't forget to pray for the rest of your family members. Pray for brothers and sisters who are sick. There are many who are ill in this community. We have a number of individuals who are ill. And outside this community, across different parts of the world, there are many people who are suffering. Many people living in poverty and difficulty and war and destruction. Let us remember them, pray for them, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieves their difficulty, brings them comfort and peace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away, all of the believing brothers and sisters, for their souls and the souls of all who have passed away. Let us recite Surah Al-Fatiha, ma'as-salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.